Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to Abby Schoenberg, who's the Director of Marketing at Fancy.com, which is one of the biggest social commerce platforms. And we're going to be talking about ad blockers and if marketers need to worry about them. Thanks for downloading. Now, a quick Google just before I recorded this podcast said that 25% of internet users have ad blockers installed in their web browsers, which means they don't see adverts. It's a lot of people, that is. That's an awful lot of people. So is the rise of ad blockers going to be a problem for marketers who obviously want to show ads to folks? Now, check out this episode. We're talking to Abby, and she's currently the Director of Marketing at Fancy.com. She's spent the last 12 years basically working with direct-to-consumer brands, building campaigns, programs, strategies, and driving that brand love and growth. Now, online advertising is a huge part of that, and it's great to be able to get Abby's view on the whole ad blocker scene, which is getting bigger and bigger. Now, you can connect with Abby on LinkedIn, so check out the links in the show notes. Can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free. Love it if you could quickly share the pod on social media, subscribe via your favourite podcast app, check out all the links, lots of things in the show notes. Now, the first thing I asked Abby was to explain exactly what an ad blocker is and what it does.
An ad blocker is a piece of software that you can install onto your computer that basically restricts content that is advertising to be shown to you in certain mediums or through certain channels. So basically, it's a way for a consumer to take a bit more control about what comes through when they think about display or even social advertising through the installation of a plugin. So it's just a blocker for advertisement.
Yeah, it's
in the name.
There's a lot of web browsers which are starting to build this in. I know the new Microsoft Edge has kind of like come out recently and installed an ad blocker, and there's one or two others. The one who doesn't
right.
seem to be installing it is obviously Google, because they sell adverts.
Right.
Yeah, sell ads. Do you think we're going to see more and more of this with this blocking technology automatically built into our browsing experience?
I think that's generally what we see when trends like this start to pick up. I think consumer response to it has been positive in the sense that they like having the control, and I think that's helpful for organizations or companies that, are responsible for serving ad content to understand that this is something that consumers are proactively installing themselves and something that they're wanting in their digital experience to have more control. So I think if each of the different browsers or, the engineers behind those teams are listening to the consumer desires, they will continue to add these ad blockers in for the foreseeable future, for sure. Not to say there aren't going to be, some crazy geniuses in ad engineering that figure out ways to circumvent or find new ways to get in front of people. But I do think in the more traditional sense that we'll definitely continue to see this continue to rise.
It seems to be, like you mentioned there, that there might be some ad folk who kind of like find ways around circumventing it. It does seem a very, very much a conflict. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to be a way of doing it. It seems to be one set of people trying to chuck a million ads at you and another set of people trying to block all of those ads. Do you think we'll get to a point where we just work together?
I think we would hope so. And I think there's a responsibility in the marketing and the advertising side to listen to what the consumer wants. And I think that's going to be the most important aspect of the change and how we start to evolve is understanding if a consumer is raising their hand and saying, I don't want this and I don't want to be served this way, there has to be, a more thoughtful approach to the way we get our brands and products and messages in front of a consumer that, isn't as perceived as invasive as I think what's causing so many people to, lean into this ad blocking era. So I think, there's going to be a lot of onus that falls onto the marketing side when it comes to creative ways to start to adapt the way we think about media and the ways we adapt to think about how we get our message in front of the right people. And obviously, we've all leaned into data and leaned into the glamour of, data-first advertising, which obviously is a lot of programmatic display, a lot of, data-rich serving, which ad blocking is becoming a bit of a chokehold on. But I think it's, creativity that's going to probably get people the most get people a bit further along and with their businesses and with their brands as they think about leaning into what the consumer is asking and how the consumer is behaving.
A lot of the web browsers will have in their little shield at the top, sort of, let's block an ad and let's block ads and trackers, or we can block ads or we can leave trackers, or we get the choice. What's the fundamental difference between like an advert and a tracker?
Yeah, no, there is absolutely a difference. So if you think about an ad blocker is the blocking of the content. So the blocking of the actual visual or text that gets seen by the consumer. An ad tracker is something that's basically building that pool of data behind a consumer that allows us to target them a bit more appropriately. So it's basically, you know, the trail of cookies that lead you to being able to serve a relevant, timely, and focused ad versus the actual ad that gets served. So I think there is a difference, and I think it's important for consumers to understand that difference in the sense of, you know, a lot of people care about things feeling relevant to them. And in that sense, ad tracking is very important, so we can, you know, identify who these consumers are or who they look like, whereas the content is obviously where the ad blocking is coming in to actually stop the visual display.
Should we worry about being tracked? I mean, should we stick our tinfoil hat on and put our phone in the fridge or something and take the battery out at night? I mean, should we worry about being tracked or not?
You know, I think a lot of, you see a lot of things coming out right now with GDPR and CCPA, and I think governments are, and regulatory agencies are coming out to make sure the data is being managed properly. I think it's obviously important for consumers to understand how and where and what data is being stored about them and to have a sense of control. And I think we're obviously as a marketplace moving in that direction. So I generally never have an issue with being tracked. I think I actually prefer to get content served to me that is relevant to what I'm looking for. And I do appreciate that in a sense of the way I perceive content, but there is going to be a very, very large portion of the population that has concerns about this data storage and has concerns about the way they're being tracked online. But I think it comes to, you know, I think what we're seeing right now is a lot of these regulatory agencies stepping in to make sure that, you know, people can have the confidence that they're in control and that their data is their data and that they have, you know, the rights to ask for it to be deleted or to, you know, see what's being tracked and make changes off of that. So I think you've seen a lot of really positive transparency happen in the last 2 years that should be giving consumers a bit more confidence if they're obviously aware about it. And, you know, I know there's, you know, it's been a big thing over in the EU, and obviously it's happening now in California. And so I'm sure we'll continue to see more of that as consumers start to take the reins of control. But I think as long as regulations are in place, and I think as long as, you know, people have some control to, you know, ask for their data to be deleted and sensitive information is being cared for with, you know, the utmost respect, I think I don't have major concerns with tracking.
Yeah. Do you think they get, do you think sort of like the big tech tracking gets merged in with the advertising tracking unfairly? Because I mean, if I stand up now and I walk, and I've got my phone in my pocket, right? So if I stand up now and I walk from here to the bathroom, Google knows I'm walking from here to the bathroom. It'll record that, won't it? It tracks me every, 3 feet, every 6 feet. It knows exactly where I am through GPS and everything, right? And I don't see any, and it does that. I mean, it fires off exactly where you are, your location all the time. Apparently, you know, it might be useful for me somehow. But do you understand how that's kind of, does that get merged into the kind of tracking which we're talking about, which is really for just delivering adverts and saying, oh, right, they might like this pair of shoes?
You know, it is, but I think they're a bit more connected than we even think about as we think about people being geofenced and, you know, using data to, you know, especially in the retail space, in the physical brick and mortar retail space, a lot of that location-based data is being used to help, you know, deliver, you know, coupon messaging or, you know, alert you when you're in the vicinity of a store. And I think, you know, there is some use case of that big data that's, you know, from Google and from location tracking that is, you know, relevant from the ad space. And I think it's at that point, you know, a level of comfort for each consumer of, you know, is this something, you know, I'm willing to reap the benefits of as, you know, I walk into a Walmart over here and immediately get a coupon served on my phone. Is that a benefit to me? Or do I care, you know, or am I more worried about, you know, the storage of my location data in some of these big, you know, in some of these big tech industries? So I think, you know, they do kind of bleed together. So I think fairly it's okay to look at them as one and the same. But I think that obviously within the advertising space, there's a much larger set of data cues that are they're coming together to help basically bridge what content you're going to get and what content you're going to get served that, you know, isn't as personal as, you know, where I'm standing now. It might just be, you know, what website I looked at, you know, 2 weeks ago, something along those lines. So I don't think it's, you know, there's an unfairness between the way we look at kind of this big data in the tech space and the way we look at, you know, advertising tracking, because I think there's a lot of that gets very interweaved in relevant targeting. So I think that they're I think they do merge appropriately at some point places. You know, obviously there's other, you know, data points with, you know, credit card storage and things like that, that, you know, are highly regulated. And I think sometimes those things might get mixed in and people may have concerns that their social security number is being stored or their credit card data is being stored or their address is being stored, which is really highly personal information. And I think that's something that, you know, companies are highly regulated on, you know, safety of that storage and ensuring that that data is very highly protected and we're not, you know, abusing that data, especially in an advertising space. So I think there is probably a bit more with that, you know, highly sensitive personal data that probably is a bit more concerning than some of just the general tracking data that's pretty anonymized.
Should marketers generally be worried about the rise of ad trackers, or do you think there will be ways invented to combat this?
I think that, you know, marketing, and part of the reason I love this industry so much is that it's never not evolving. And I think that this is just a phase of evolution for us in a marketing space. And, you know, yes, I think that there's probably a lot of industries and a lot of brands and companies that have leaned very, very heavily into, you know, programmatically deploying most of their ad messaging and leveraging ads as a primary tool for getting consumers into their business. I think what it's going to force a lot of us to do is diversify the mix that we look at from, you know, how we attract consumers. And I think you're looking at, you know, some groups, and obviously you have the browser issue where, you know, there things are being installed on your behalf, but you also have different consumers with different levels of comfort, and understanding, you know, where your consumer is and thinking consumer first about your mix. If you're in the Gen Z market, you know, and you're really focusing on that, that's a, you know, a group that's highly adopted ad blocking. So is it, you know, is there something that you should probably be doing to, you know, diversify what your marketing mix and your media mix looks like to ensure, yes, maybe you have a little bit of, you know, data-backed traditional style advertising that is impacted by something like an ad blocker, but then do you mix it in with something that's a bit, that doesn't carry that same risk, just to start to understand what platforms and channels are really going to help you drive the business forward? Because I think, you know, what we've always had to deal with is the evolving consumer, evolving channels, evolving platforms, and this is just a case of that. And I think, yes, you know, change can be scary, but change is something any marketer is not, you know, afraid of and or not used to seeing in the marketplace. So I think it's just about thinking about where your consumer's at and where the consumer you're targeting is at from, you know, adoption of this type of technology. And obviously there's testing that you can do to understand, you know, are you seeing your performance, you know, are you seeing, you know, the share of impressions that you're serving via, you know, display start to dwindle? And do you need to start looking into other channels, or is that still a very strong channel for you and has been able to sustain itself through this? So I think it's a bit about looking at the consumer and understanding, you know, what diversification you need to make into your marketing mix to ensure that you know, don't get caught in a corner if, you know, this continues to rise at a rapid pace.
I've seen quite a lot of those giant pop-ups that appear that ask you not to use the ad blocker. So if you've got an ad blocker switched on, you get a pop-up thing which appears and covers all the content and you can't read it until you say, I'm going to add you to my whitelist, or I'm going to switch off my ad blocker. Do you recommend using that sort of thing, or is that kind of like a bit too much friction, really?
You know, I think if someone has an ad blocker installed, they've made a choice, you know, or I guess, you know, there is the browser situation, but they've said, you know, I don't want these things. So, you know, throwing it in front of them and asking them to change their mind in that type of really invasive manner is in somewhat the reason why they've probably blocked ads. So I would say the experience probably isn't the best, but it's also something I have not personally tested. So I can't speak to it from, you know, hey, I've used this type of feature on our websites, or I've, you know, talked extensively to people who have used it to understand, hey, actually we have, you know, 70% turn off the ad blocker when they see the pop-up. You know, that's something that, you know, I need to probably do a little bit more research on myself. But from my perspective, I think a lot of the reason people are leaning out of of wanting to see and be served ads is because of the invasiveness that they feel like it creates in their digital experience. So does that pop-up just remind them of that experience? So I think, yes, I think if you've done testing and you've seen it one way, we'd love to hear about it. And people are highly engaged in, you know, turning those off when cued. Very interested to hear if that's a trend. But it's not something I have any real hard data against.
Yeah, I suppose it's the whole story of marketers. Marketers find something that works. They exploit it to the nth degree and everybody gets sick to death of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I'm not going to mention the name of the website. CNN. And I went onto their homepage without an ad blocker. And it was just, I think I totted up about 76 ad blockers and trackers within that one page. That's a lot. You can understand why folks are actually switching these things on. And the videos that automatically play and the backgrounds that automatically chew up and make the page scroll really slowly.
Right.
Have we gone too far with all of this, particularly with the display advertising?
I mean, I think the consumer's telling us we have. I think that is why we're seeing what we're seeing. I think we're seeing this disruptive experience for the reason someone's visiting a particular site or visiting a particular destination online is to digest content that they've chosen to understand and look at. And I think that there was a point in time where, you know, you just had your 300 by 250, you know, sitting on the right-hand side of the advertisement and maybe one header banner. And, you know, there was not things loading as you're scrolling through the page and popping up over your page and all these videos having these pre-rolls, you know, attached to them. So it becomes very noisy, I think, for the consumer. And I think it creates an experience that isn't necessarily as enjoyable for them. So I think at the end of the day, and what I always believe is, you know, we're as marketers trying to attract a consumer. And if the consumer is telling us, I don't want this and I don't like the way this is, you know, interacting in my experience, find a different way to talk to me. I think we need to listen to those cues. And I think, you know, this is a great example of, you know, us just, you know, finding that one thing that worked for a really good amount of time and having a lot of data and a lot of ways to track and, you know, understand our return on investment and use digital in a really smart way. But we've also, I think there's certain situations where I think it's gone to quite the extreme. And even speaking from a consumer sense, you know, I'm with you in the sense I've been on sites and I'm like, holy mother. Like I can't even scroll. I just ads are popping into the content. I'm losing my place in the article. Like it's just become so invasive. Yeah. And so I think the brands that are going to win are going to find different ways to engage with their consumer in a way that feels authentic and valuable to the experience that they're driving forward. And I think that's what we'll start to see change.
Do you think we should switch the ad blocker on and have a look at our own website, particularly if we're a publisher and we've got display advertising on? Do you think we ought to see what an ad blocker does to our own website?
I 100% think you absolutely should be looking at that. You know, I think there's, you know, you are obviously getting people that are coming in that don't have ad blockers, but there's this massive rise in people installing them. So I think you need to understand what the experience feels like for someone that has it installed and someone that doesn't have it installed. And you should be considering an optimization plan for both. It's super interesting because I think, you know, my eye-opening moment, because I, we all knew about ad blockers. I assumed, you know, okay, a good portion of the population's installing them, but I actually went on a college campus and was giving a talk about 6 months ago. And into this entire lecture room of Gen Z college kids, I said, is anyone using ad blocks? And 100, I'm not kidding when I say 100% of the hands went up, every single person in the room. And so I think that's why I keep kind of reiterating this Gen Z audience and probably even a millennial audience in the sense that you're going to have certain segments of a consumer, certain generations that are going to install this at such a rapid rate that if there is any, you know, desire for you to resonate with those groups, you do need to understand how your site experience is, you know, relating to what they're saying and what they expect for publishers or brands or whoever's, you know, in the mix.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I did a quick search just before we started chatting to see the percentage of internet users using an ad blocker, and the first result was talking about around 25%. That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. Yeah. And I mean, if you think about that number is just increasing on a day, you know, on a daily basis in the sense that you're constantly going to see new adoption of this. And I think people are probably not, being as annoyed with the ad blocking experience as they are without it. So you probably don't see a lot of uninstall happening from that ad blocker software. But again, I don't have any hard data on it, so I can't. I'm speaking a bit more from perception. But yeah, I imagine we're only going to continue to see that number go up. And I think it's, I think the most important thing is just how do you optimize an experience to integrate brands or partners into your, you know, publishing site? Or how as a brand do you think differently about how you talk and message to your consumer that's not so invasive or and not so kind of against what they are asking us for?
Sure. I mean, one of the reasons all this tracking and exists in the first place is so that we can be sold advertising from Facebook and Google and everybody that is highly targeted. I mean, incredibly targeted. I mean, you only have to, anybody could just go onto the Facebook website and you can start creating audiences, which are ridiculously niche.
Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculously niche. You can go down to like about 25 people if you really want to and advertise to them. And do you think to make it all easier, we should just go back to basic keyword targeting? If somebody types this into Google or types this into Facebook, just shove this ad in front of them and be done with it.
You know, I think that, yes, I mean, I think keyword will always have a place in a marketing mix, especially because, you know, we don't always know, especially with a new company or a new product line or something along those lines. We're starting to understand like what type of consumer is going to be attracted. And sometimes keyword-based is the way to go. I mean, as someone that, you know, understands ad blocking, but still appreciates data and still appreciates the ability to target a consumer based off of, you know, psychographic as well as demographic details, so I can try to narrow in and focus that area of my business, I still hope that there's a place for that, you know, long term. And I think it's relevant to consumers as well, for those that are comfortable with, you know, sharing that data, in the sense that it does help you get served the right product, in the sense that, you know, someone searching for, you know, workout leggings, may an individual that's, you know, a male in his 40s probably should be served a different ad than an individual that's female in their 20s. Yeah. And so obviously in a keyword-based search, unless they're refining that on their own, you know, that extra layer of data is going to be helping get your message in front of the right person. So yes, I think that, you know, keyword has not gone away, and it's still probably a really critical place in any marketing mix, whether you're thinking of, you know, Google or YouTube or wherever you're, you know, doing your keyword-based buying. But I still, you know, I still believe that there is a place for targeting based off of user. Will that change based off of, you know, eventual potential 100% adoption of ad blocking? For sure. Yeah. But today, I still think that there's a bit of a place for both, and I still have an appreciation for both.
But I mean, audience targeting's been around forever, though. I mean, it's been forever. I mean, even back in the days before the internet, you would advertise in Horse and Hounds if you were selling stuff for horses. You wouldn't advertise. Right. It's simple as that. Folks who got a horse, buy this magazine or buy this paper. And that's a form of, and that's very similar in a way to what we're doing. It's just, we're doing it to the nth degree now, I suppose.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit in the sense of the difference between direct to publisher buying versus programmatic buying.
Yeah.
Right. In the sense that, and that might be a trend that we start to lean back into, maybe as publishers think about ways to better integrate brands into their content mix of, you know, okay, I'm Shape Magazine and I know I attract, you know, a 25-year-old female that is, you know, health conscious versus, you know, a Cosmopolitan who might be, you know, more attractive to an individual who is looking for dating advice, right? So I think that you might start to see the rise of that and that become more important as you think about, you know, partnerships or collaborative content or ways that you, you know, use more organic style inventory to get your message across. And you go back to those times where we were, you know, buying print ads and focused on the reader, right? The reader of the content, not necessarily the surveyed data behind, I guess would be back in the magazine time, but survey data behind, you know, what those attributes of a different consumer were. So, and I think when I talk about, you know, diversification in the way we're buying and the diversification of a mix, I think that there's probably still a place for that direct to publisher buying. And I think obviously the place it's hurting the most is programmatic, because it is 100% reliant on both ad blockers and ad trackers. So that, I think that will be interesting. But yeah, I think that there's probably a bit of a kind of nostalgic buying that we all might come back to here in a bit when we start to look at content versus consumer.
Yeah, because there's still quite a bit of native advertising and advertorials and that sort of stuff done online anyway, isn't there? I mean, that's been the same since the internet turned up.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think there's, you know, you still see quite a few, you know, partnership level engagements happening between brands and, you know, relevant publishers. And I think even the influencer and blogger space has been on the rise there as well, as you think about, you know, this is a type of content that I would like my brand to sit against. And I think that the consumers of this content would also resonate with the products that I sell or the service that I provide. So I think that there is, you know, something to think about in that capacity, and the way we potentially buy online advertising a little bit differently. Do I think programmatic's going away tomorrow? Absolutely not. But I think that, you know, again, it's just about starting to understand what the right mix is for your audience and how much of this ad blocking situation is impacting the audience that you're trying to serve.
Sure. So if you're serving ads to a Gen Z market, you've got to basically understand that not many of them are going to see them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and I think, I don't know if, you know, it was a unique situation when I sat in that room and 100% of the hands, I mean, without a doubt, 100% of the hands rose.
Sure.
I'm sure that there are still, you know, consumers in that Gen Z market that are open to ads, but I think the percentage is questionable, you know, and it probably still growing in favor of ad blocking.
Yeah, I mean, that generation particularly is very much more into the whole sort of like trust and authority side of advertising, where they will look at word of mouth, I suppose.
Exactly. It's, you know, it is very, trust is, transparency is very important. Yeah. I mean, it is the cancel generation. So yeah, you've got to be the brand to them the way they want you to be. And that's, you know, transparent, respectful, purpose-driven, and, you know, making sure that you are engaging with them in the way they want to be engaged with.
Fantastic. Abby, it's been fascinating chatting to you. Learned a lot.
Oh, good.
Where can we find you? Where's your website, social media, bits and pieces? Where can we connect?
Yeah, everyone can connect with me on LinkedIn. So it's my LinkedIn profile is my name. So linkedin.com/in/Abby Schoenberg. So you can connect with me there, and then you can connect to all my social media channels through that. So it's probably the easiest, but it's generally at Abby Ramji, which is my maiden name. So
I'll leave all the links in the show notes anyway. So
amazing.
Click on those. Fantastic. Abby, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you for your time. It was so great chatting with you.
Thanks again to Abby for her time. Don't forget to check out the links in the show notes. Connect on LinkedIn with her. If you've enjoyed this episode, then you can subscribe for more, because there's more. There is. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.